famous Phil Henry show. You know, when you're away from the office for a while, you think that somebody's been in messing with the files, or I don't know. Do you get paranoid like that, folks? Those of you at home, do you ever get worried when you come back to the office? Wait a minute, my ashtray has moved. Or if you're smoking in your office, I guess the only way you can smoke in your own office is if you own the building. But when you're in a broadcast studio, it's slightly different because you'll walk in, everything has to be a certain way, and if it's changed, then you think someone's been in here. Now, I know no one's been in here, but stuff sounds wrong, you know.
What's wrong?
I don't know. The bumper sounded thin and tinny, and I'm not looking thin and tinny. I was looking thin.
And you said you got off your diet, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I got off the diet, sure.
Well, why'd you do that?
Why did I do that? Because I'm on the road and I'm eating all that crap on the road. In the words of Lenny Bruce, I'm eating all of that. You know, you're not eating your diet food. You know.
Well, you can still get the diet food, can't you, Phil?
What I got were power bars, and finally I said, forget it. You know, I got to eat because we're going to do the show, and I don't want to be hungry, and I don't want to have a bad attitude, and I don't want to have like. So, yeah, and I had a fantastic steak, and I had, I think I had room service. But you do what you got to do, man. I mean, that's something look, I don't have a gourmet cook, okay, Margaret, like you do.
We have, look, Phil, Frank and I have someone come in once a week. We had for the longest time, you know that we had, can I drop some names?
Well, go ahead.
Well, we were very, very fortunate when we had Dudzik, the German cook.
You didn't drop a name. I never heard of him. Who's Dudzik?
Dudzik. You don't know. They wouldn't know. We were fortunate to have Arnois.
I don't know who it is either.
Yeah, it's...
Excuse me, General. You don't know Arnois Dudzik?
No, I don't, Margaret.
Wow.
Wait, well, what's...
Wow. Wow.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, boy. Let's see. This is going to take some time. Get Frank on the phone.
Wait, what's wrong with me never having heard of Arnois Dudzik?
You told me you needed a gourmet cook, didn't you?
No, I never said I needed a gourmet cook.
Did you have hair 2 years ago?
No, I did not.
Oh, God.
Wait a minute. You got him confused with someone else?
I might have gotten you. I know who it was. It was Ned Beatty.
Yeah.
Ned Beatty.
I was talking to Ned Beatty, and he said, do you know a good gourmet cook? I said, Arnois Dudzik. And he said, thank you. And I could have sworn. You and Ned Beatty, Phil.
Well.
Oh, excuse me. Is that not good enough for your Royal Highness? Ned Beatty is one of the great actors on the American stage. One of the all-time greats.
Yeah, and the other thing...
Hey, if you bring that up, man, I'm going to punch you out. Just as Mr. Beatty said that he would, okay?
Bud was going to bring up the film Deliverance.
No. Mr. Beatty said that he didn't want to hear that.
Mr. Beatty, is it?
Margaret, first of all, I got a hard time believing you don't know the difference between me and Ned Beatty.
You guys look alike.
Okay, we look alike. Secondly, as long as you're going to bring up Mr. Beatty's name, you're not going to bring it up in the same context with that movie because everybody makes a joke out of that. And he said, and I agree with him, that if he hears anybody joke about that movie again in his presence, he'll knock him out. He doesn't care if he goes to jail. I feel that I should defend him in that area because I agree with him. So, Bud, if you bring it up, I'll knock you out. I don't care if I go to jail.
You're not going to go to jail.
You want me to knock you out?
No.
Well, you just gave me a free shot there, man. You're not going to file a complaint?
I will. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, see, Margaret will.
What?
I won't do it, but she will.
He wants me to.
Yeah.
I'm going to belt you just for fun. How about that? He said he would knock out anybody that brought that up and made a joke about it because he says that rape, and he's right, is not funny. And that's what happened in that movie to the character that he was playing. And people are making all these jokes about it. He said, fine, that's great. Go ahead, make your joke. The next guy that makes it in front of me, I'll knock his freaking teeth down his throat, probably put the guy in a coma for a while. I'll go to jail, and I don't care.
Ned Beatty said that.
Yes, he did. And I don't think that anybody has, I don't think he's gone to jail for it. And I'm going to have to conclude he hasn't gone to jail for it because nobody in his presence has made the joke. So.
Well, you're not Ned Beatty.
No, I'm not. But this one here started to make the joke. And I, as long as you're saying I look like Ned Beatty, I'll start to act like Ned Beatty. I'll belt you, bud, and knock you into tomorrow. And I don't care if I go to jail.
I'm not going to report it to police.
But she is.
Yes. In any event, Arnwad Dudzik was the chef that you, I thought you'd asked me about, but it wasn't you. It was Ned Beatty. That's it.
So, Phil, do you know Arnwad Dudzik?
No, I don't. Do you?
I do, only from hearing his name mentioned by Margaret.
Had you heard it before today?
No, I hadn't heard it before even this moment. But I do know who he is.
You know who he is. I don't know who he is.
He's a gourmet chef.
Yeah, don't you hear too good?
Okay, so what's the point with this guy?
Well, I wanted to mention him because he's a very, very good gourmet chef. He cooks very calorie-friendly. I don't know how you say it. He cooks very good lean dinners and so forth. What you do when you go to the set, okay...
Margaret, I don't need to hear all of this, all right?
Well, he made up these little dinners and these little meals for Ned, and Ned would take them to the set.
And he's sitting there, would he eat it with a fork?
Yes, he did. Don't get smart-ass with me, bud, because I won't just threaten it. I'll follow through.
No, did he eat it with a fork?
Yes, he ate it with a fork.
Not his fingers?
No, not his fingers.
Okay, bud.
I didn't do anything.
Get out of here, man.
I didn't do anything.
Get out of here.
What'd he do?
I don't know, but every time I hear that laugh, I know he's up to something, and I'm going to kick his ass. Go.
Where am I supposed to go?
Outside. Okay, so Arnwad Dudzik is a gourmet cook. I've already kicked one guy out of the studio. Is this going to be worth it?
Well, I'm just saying that he makes these little gourmet meals, and then you take them with you wherever you go. Now, I had hired him briefly for Frank, because Frank was not eating well. Do we have him on the phone yet?
Hold on. Yeah, I'm getting them right now.
Frank wasn't eating very well, and Arnois began to make some of these very choice, very tasty meals. I thought they were delicious. Gravy dishes, you know, Phil. And some were very, very good. Stews, seafoods, and so forth that Frank would take with him wherever he went. And I thought they were delicious. And is that Frank?
Yeah, I'm on the phone right now. Frank? Yeah. It's Margaret.
Hey.
Frank, it's Margaret. How are you?
I'm better than Custer, honey. How you doing?
I'm good. Phil's here, obviously.
Hey, young man.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm better than Custer. How are you?
Good.
Frank, I'm here too, Frank.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
I won't say that to you.
What's that?
I won't say that to you.
What's that? I can't understand.
He wants to say that to you.
What do you want to say to me?
How you doing?
Okay, go ahead.
How you doing?
All right.
How come you ain't gonna say better than Custer?
What's that?
Why don't you say better than Custer, man?
He's not saying better than Custer.
Oh, I'm better than Custer.
Yeah, but I gotta ask for it.
I don't know, maybe it's racism. You think?
I didn't say better than Custer because I'd already said it twice to Margaret. I said it to him, and I said it to Phil, so after I said it to him and her, I didn't think I had to say it to her.
To him?
No, I said it to him. Then I said it to you, and I didn't say it to her.
To her, yeah, to...
No, to her.
To Robert.
Yes.
You didn't say better than Custer to me?
I did say better than Custer to you. I didn't say it to her.
To Robert.
To Robert.
To Robert.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Robert.
Yay!
Are you guys losing it or something?
Well, everybody's like, to Robert, to Robert, to Robert.
Yeah, it sounded like the three Magneteers, however that... Did you ever see... I got a great story, by the way. I was working as a... I was a page, just working very, very odd hours. I was working at the NBC, old studio NBC, as a young punk kid. And Errol Flynn comes in, and she'd just gotten done doing that Captain's Courageous, I think it was, and she says to me, Can you call me, kid, when I get a phone call? I'm going to get a phone call over here from the guy over here, but you call me, and I'll give you this crisp, shiny $2 bill. It was a $2 bill. This is back in the time when they had a $2 bill.
Errol Flynn, huh?
Yeah, it was Errol Flynn, and she was at the top of her... I don't know if she was at the top of her game or not, but she looked puffy around the eyes. Even as a 12-year-old, I could see. And she gives me this $2 bill and then wiggles her finger toward the men's room, and I'm thinking, well, maybe she needs help getting her fly down. And
don't tell me this story. Are you telling me that Errol Flynn...
No, I'm not going to say that at all. It turned out that when she wiggled her finger, I went over and she said, hey, I'm going to get a phone call at that phone over there, so you see that guy? And I said, yeah. And he said, when she tells you that I've got a phone call, she'll probably say, Mr. Errol Flynn has a phone call, go get her. And that's what she wanted me to do. So, excuse me. So I waited and I waited and I waited. And I had the $2 bill from Errol Flynn, and the phone call never did come in. And as it turned out, Flynn passed out in the bathroom. She was blind, stinking drunk. And they picked her up and carried her to an apartment. Some chick that she was dating, I forget what his name was, but he had an apartment above the theater. And
whoa, hold on for a minute. This is a crazy story. Was it a theater? Or was it NBC?
Oh no, it was NBC that was on Sunset and Vine back in those days. Okay. And, yeah, it was NBC, and I was there, and she had come in. But I didn't know she was drunk, you know.
You're talking about Errol Flynn?
Yes. What the name of Jesus? What do you think I've been talking about, Margaret? I said Errol Flynn.
Well, I don't know, honey. You start in with this story about Errol Flynn. It's got nothing to do with anything.
Yes, it did, because I heard the three of you go for Robert. It sounded, and Phil even said it sounded like the three of you. The three monkeyteer.
The three monkeyteers.
Well, I don't know. Is that Dickman?
Yeah.
One thing about you, Dickman, you got a kick out of life. I love her. All right. So.
All right. So, Errol Flynn gave you a $2 tip if you would come and get him when the phone call came in, but the phone call never came in. And meanwhile, they found him passed out drunk in the bathroom.
Yeah, they found Errol Flynn passed out drunk in the bathroom. They pick her up. They throw her into the car of this redhead that he was apparently dating Mr. Flynn, and he had an apartment. And they took Flynn up to his apartment where this redhead lived.
Was it a guy?
Was what a guy?
The guy that Mr. Flynn...
What is wrong with you, Dickman? You are about as stupid as they get.
No, it was a chick, man.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
God almighty. Why you don't fire half your staff? You want to know why you're nuts half the time, Henry? Because you got the dumbest asses working for you that I've ever... No! I told you it was a broad, all right? And he had an apartment north of the Hollywood Hills. Up in the hills there.
Right.
And so they put Flynn in the back of this convertible that this broad owned and took her up to his apartment.
Okay, so I got it. So, and that's where Mr. Flynn wound up at this girl's apartment.
Right. But I kept the $2 tip. And later, in later years, God rest her soul, when she finally, just before she passed on, I met her, and I said, Mr. Flynn, you don't know me. I was a young page at NBC, and I tell you, she said, the $2 bill. I said, you're right. And she says to me, you know something? I have thought about it. And I said, no, better not. But that $2 was really for you to come in, pull my fly down.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
No, but it was going to be a gag. She wasn't really, she said, I wanted to pull a gag on you and stick my finger out and...
Frank, we don't need to hear any more of these stories, all right?
I'm not saying anything about that's bad of the Mr. Flynn. It was good.
Fine. But I think that when you're talking about someone that has passed on, and even if it's a joke, it doesn't come off sounding very good, okay?
Oh, okay, fine. Well, I can only hope that you people protect my image and the things that I just heard a voice in my ear. Who was that?
It was Nikki.
What did he want?
We have to take a break. We'll be right back. Sorry, Nikki, we were running a little bit late on that. We'll be right back with Frank Gray here on the world-famous Phil Hendry show and talk a little bit more with him I think about this Arnaud Dudzik, right?
Yes, exactly. The gourmet chef.
Right back. Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, yeah. Phil Hendry Show, welcome back here. And Frank Gray on the line with us as we talk about Arnaud Dudzik. That's my understanding, right?
Your understanding of what?
What is the understanding? Talk to me, will you, Phil? Don't talk to him. And, you know, Margaret, just please, for 5 seconds, just keep it quiet so I understand what she's trying to say to me. Do you mind, Margaret?
I don't mind, Frank. I don't like being talked to that way.
I'm not trying to disrespect you, honey, but I don't understand what she's trying to say to me. I come on the program to talk to Phil. She's trying to ask me a question. You're bumping in there with this Dudzik. And let me tell you about Dudzik, Phil. She's not a bad cook, but she ain't the world beater that Margaret likes to make her out to be, okay? Margaret likes to talk about this Arnaud Dudzik like she's some kind of fantastic cook. Now, I remember when she got married, she married this beautiful chick, and suddenly her cooking got real sloppy because she's spending all this time with him.
Are you talking about Arnaud Dudzik?
Yeah, this cook. Now, and she used to be fantastic, but when she got married, she marries this beautiful girl and decides to stay at home with him all the time. And the cooking just fell off like it fell off a precipice. It went from outstanding. It went from just 5 spoon all the way up, and it went right down into almost inedible, almost as if you were eating, I'm going to say it.
Now watch it, Frank.
I'm going to say it, almost as if you were eating it fecal matter.
Holy God.
That's how bad it got.
Frank, that is unfair, untrue, and I think it's because Arnaud decided that he was going to work for other people besides Frank, and he went to work for Wireman, and Frank doesn't like Wireman. It was a big competition thing.
Oh, that's a load of horse dung. That's a load of horse dung, and everything that that guy cooks is a load of horse dung, okay? Everything that she cooks tastes like horse dung. What smells and sounds like a bell?
Dung.
You got it. Now, is Nikki there? I want to speak with Nikki. Is he there?
Hello, Frank.
Hey, how you doing, Nikki? I wanted to ask you, last week we were talking about your boyfriend, and I know that she's a computer deal?
Yep.
Okay. Now, where does your mother live?
She lives just outside of Binghamton, New York.
And what does he do for a living?
She works for a family restaurant.
Oh, he does. And is he? So he works for a family restaurant. He doesn't own the family restaurant.
You got it.
Who owns the family restaurant?
A man named Jim Consul.
Is she nice to him?
Yes.
Okay, great. Is he nice to her?
Yes.
All right. Are they going to get married? I'm just kidding. I'd say obviously not. Do you go up and see him?
Yep.
Who are you talking about, Frank?
I'm talking about Nikki going up to see his mother. You don't mind me asking this, do you, Nikki?
Not at all.
So when he goes up to see his mother, and the two of them get together, and he says, "Hey, Mom, let's go have tea. Do you ever take your mother for tea?"
I don't.
You don't? A lot of times young ladies love to take their mothers for tea. So Nikki will go up there, and he'll say, "Hey, Mom, let's do something very ladylike." And he'll say, "What?" And he'll say, "Let's go get tea." So the two of them sit down, and he will have the tea and show him how to do it, see?
Yeah, that's great. So maybe sometime, Nikki, you can do that.
What does that mean? Yeah, that's great.
Well, it sounded the way you put it. Maybe someday you'll do that, Nikki. Take your mom, she'll want to have tea. What are the girl things?
Excuse me, do you mind if I do this? I wanted to ask you, Nikki, do you ever go and get your nails done with your mom?
I don't.
Oh, you don't? Do you get your nails done?
I don't.
Do you get your feet done? I don't know. What else do women do? They
get their pedicures and stuff. You don't do any of that girly stuff?
I don't.
Yeah?
I'm going to have to ask you at this time, do you shave your armpit?
Okay, that's...
I do.
That's fine. That's fine.
I remember I dated a gal in college. He never shaved his armpit. But I found it... Well, no, it was disgusting. Well, Nikki, I wanted to just ask you those questions because I think I'm going to be back there in Washington, D.C. And, Margaret, with your permission, I'd like to go out with him. Nothing.
1 minute.
Nothing, no big thing. I just want to go out with him.
Go out with who?
With Nikki.
Oh, you mean...
I want to take him to dinner. Do you mind me if I take you to dinner, Nikki?
It's up to Margaret.
That's fine with me.
I just want to take him out and show him that I appreciate all that he's doing for you and hear more about his mother.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I got to go. We have 1 minute to go, and I've just gotten the 1 minute word there from my friend there, Nikki. Thank you, Nikki, and thank you very much, Frank.
What is up with you?
Nothing. Thank you very much, Frank. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, we got 30 seconds, Nikki? Okay. Well, this will give me an opportunity to let you guys know that on our homepage at philhenryshow.com, we have our video travel log. We've got three video clips from the trip up the coast, Atascadero, the Sea Lions, and on stage at the Eureka. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show, and my apologies, the show's been a little half-assed and sloppy tonight because...
When's it not half-assed and sloppy? I'm only kidding.
That's really funny.
You know, Bud, one of these days you're going to get a letter, and it'll say, please report to this recycling center, and you'll be recycled. How do you feel about that, Bud Dickman?
They can't do that.
No, they can't, but we wish they could. Just push you right into that recycling machine.
Shut up. Do they really do that, Mr. Irvine?
No, they're not going to do it. All right. Welcome back to our program. Now, I was just talking to our good, close, personal friend here, Nikki. You said you were where, Nikki? You did a walk for Chow. For
yeah.
Chow dogs?
No.
They did a walk for
Chow. It's a hunger walk.
Well, you said for Chow. Is that what you called it, Chow?
Yep.
Is that what they called it at the radio station, Chow?
At the radio station?
Well, did they say we're going to have a walk for Chow this weekend?
No, this was back home.
Oh, so you're using a colloquialism from Binghamton?
Yes.
That's Chow. Oh, I see.
Yeah, so that's a colloquialism that Nikki's using. And that goes back to that thing. You remember we took that test and they pinpointed you as from Binghamton, New York. They knew
yes.
right away. And Chow, I would never say Chow. I'd say we're walk for hunger.
Yes, I'd say a walk for hunger or a walk to feed the needy. I wouldn't say chow because it sounds like you're ringing a dinner bell and a lot of little children are crawling and limping and pushing themselves on pallet boards to the... You understand what I'm saying?
That's not a very nice way of putting it.
Well, but Nikki's going, come and get it, and she's hitting the chow bell.
It's not a chow bell, is it? No, it's not. Why am I asking her?
No, it stands for something. It's community hunger outreach.
That's
warehouse.
What it was.
Yeah.
I thought you were ringing a dinner bell and telling all the little limping,
all the little tiny Tims to come and get it?
Yes.
No, I don't think that's what she was doing. Community hunger outreach, wow, that's what it stands for? I don't know. Well, yeah, so we used to do those. We'd do these radio station walks and... I was doing those in my 20s, working for these different radio stations, and there would be these little 15-year-old girls that would follow you around because they thought it was really big time to have a disc jockey in their neighborhood. And I was just thinking that now they're all, they're all in their 50s or something.
Yeah, they're all in their 50s and fat.
That's just great, bud.
Well, think about it, man. They're not little tiny girls anymore. They're big ladies.
Maybe they are big ladies. I'm not going to sit here. Yeah, they're all in their 50s and fat, but they're all moms, so... They're all moms, and they're all doing their thing. That's neither here nor there. Anyway, we apologize if to the extent that we need to that the show might have been a little bit off tonight, but that's just, I was racing home here. And the whole point of me talking about the driving thing was because I was trying to make it to get here by 6 o'clock. That's why it's probably not the smartest thing in the world to leave a city hundreds of miles away to try to make it to work that night.
Well, you always said that you would take the night off if it came down to it, that you would not push it.
But I'm not going to do that. I mean, I owe the audience the show, and we're going to make it to the show. But yeah, I was pushing it.
You found an In-N-Out Burger, man, stopping at In-N-Out.
What?
Bet you talk English, man. I'm talking, and you said you found an In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, we found In-N-Out Burger. We were really hungry, and I was driving, and there's a town in Northern California called Gilroy. It's a garlic. All of these little farming communities along the way. When you go through California, and especially when you're going up either the San Joaquin Valley, you're going up the 101, you're hitting a lot of, between the urban centers of San Francisco and Los Angeles, it's all farmland. That's all. You're either in ranchland or farmland. There ain't nothing else. It is not the urban corridor, for instance, that a New York, say, to Washington, D.C. might be, or any one of those trips between cities on the East Coast where everything is sort of a megalopolis, if you will. And that's a megalopolis, bud, before you flip your lid, okay, is just a constant city. It's just an enormous city larger than a metropolis.
That's called a megalopolis.
Right.
And because it sounds like a creature.
It does sound like a creature.
Because it sounds like a creature doesn't mean that it is. It's a megalopolis.
Yeah.
All right.
Because it sounds like a creature.
It does.
Well, it sounds like a dinosaur or something.
Well, you know what? They've got a point. It does sound like a kind of dinosaur.
And it's not a dinosaur. It's the megalopolis is a megalopolis. Anyway, but between urban centers out west, it's nothing but prairie and farmland and ranchland, and it goes on forever, man. Then every now and again comes this little town. And one of them is, for instance, there's a town called the artichoke capital of the world, Castroville.
That's Castroville.
Yeah. And they have artichokes. Artichokes some people really like. I can take them or leave them. Why? Because there isn't a hell of a lot to an artichoke. And the very good point made to me by Barry Louise is, and you got to eat it with mayonnaise, and that's pretty vile. So.
Oh, mayonnaise is delicious with the artichoke. Also with the melted butter. It's delicious.
Yeah, but there's just not a whole lot going on with an artichoke, you know. What, bud?
Well, the name's not good either.
You talk about the name.
What about the name? Artichoke?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, your mind goes into the gutter with everything. I bet you, like, my name, Phil. Is that dirty?
Well.
So, and your own name, that sounds like butt. And let's see, Robert.
Yeah.
So you can find something crappy in everybody's name.
Well, not crappy, but, you know.
Artichoke is what it's called. Then the other thing was this town called Gilroy, man. He hit Gilroy, and they got all these garlic restaurants and garlic stands, and garlic is where it's at with Gilroy.
Well, is it the garlic capital?
No, it's not the garlic capital, but it's like garlic everywhere, man, everywhere you turn. And they got that restaurant, the Stinking Rose. You ever heard of that?
I've heard of that. Now, that's where Clint Eastwood, doesn't he own that?
The what?
Clint Eastwood, not the what, who?
I don't know whether he owns it or not.
Well, Clint Eastwood has some interest in some restaurants up in Monterey, California, I think. One of them is there is a garlic restaurant that he owns. It's called, and it does have a name like that. All of those garlic restaurants have the same sort of name.
What is the name of this one, Phil?
Well, the one in Gilroy, and they may have one in Monterey, is called the Stinking Rose.
No, it's not that. The one that Eastwood owns is called the Stench. It's not the Stench, but it's the Stench.
The Stench in the Kitchen.
It's the kitchen, the Stench, the Kitchen Stench. Isn't it, Frank? Oh, Frank's not here. Frank, call in if you're listening. The restaurant in Monterey, I think, is the Stink from the Kitchen.
Yeah, that's it.
The Stink from the Kitchen.
I think you're right, Margaret.
Yes.
That's the name of the restaurant that Clint Eastwood owns.
Well, it's a garlic restaurant, Phil. It's a garlic restaurant. So the Stink or the Stench.
I got it right here, Miss Gray. It's the corrosive. Here.
The corrosive. Yes, the corrosive stench from the room in the back. It's not even the kitchen.
Well.
What?
Now I'm starting to sneeze thinking about that.
Good God, cover your. Oh, God.
You got that all over me, Henry.
Sorry, man. I sneezed.
God.
What is with you, Margaret?
God.
You got to go and get a rag.
I'm not getting a rag.
I mean,
what's the name of this restaurant?
It's called a corrosive. Here, Robert.
Called Corrosive Stench from a Room. Yeah, Corrosive Stench from the Small Tile Room.
The Corrosive Stench from the Small Tiled Room. You're telling me that's a restaurant?
I'm telling you, that's a Clint Eastwood restaurant in Monterey.
Yeah.
That's about as unappetizing a name for a restaurant as I could possibly think of. You've got to be kidding me.
No, look, Eastwood is an artist. He's an actor. You know how these actors are. They've got weird ideas about things.
Well, I wouldn't. I mean,
Yeah, you would. If you found out a Clint Eastwood was hanging around there, I would.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the corrosive stench from the small tiled room, that basically sounds like the stink coming from the bathroom.
Well, they're not going to call it that, Phil.
Well, of course they wouldn't want to call it that, because then nobody would eat in the place.
Well, it is Clint Eastwood's restaurant.
So you're gonna ask people to eat there only because Clint Eastwood owns the joint. Otherwise, they wouldn't go near it. The stink from the bathroom.
It's not called that.
No, it's called a corrosive stench from a small town room.
Why do they call it that?
Well, I would. May I venture a guess?
No. Yes. Go ahead. But I can tell you why.
I would venture the guess is because that the stink never leaves, whether it's from the kitchen or the.
That's exactly right. The kitchen, the bathroom, the whole place reeks. It just reeks of it.
Hmm. Well, I like garlic, man, but I don't know if I like it that much, you know.
Well, Mr. Eastwood doesn't care, Phil.
Oh, well, I'm so grateful that he can continue to do business without Phil Henry's patronage, and I'm sure that he will. The corrosive stench from the small-tiled... There's no way. I don't believe it.
Maybe you don't believe it.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Let me see that book.
Right here.
Is this a Zagat survey?
We couldn't get a Zagat.
Well, what is this thing? This looks like from The Onion or something. All right, Phil
Henry
Show.
Hog's Breath Inn.
What's that?
Hog's Breath Inn.
The Hog's Breath Inn.
No, I know the Hog's Breath Inn. That's the bar. But he also bought the place that has the stink of the onion or the garlic. Now, it wasn't Stinking Rose. Is there a Stinking Rose in Monterey, Nikki?
I didn't see one in Monterey.
No, Carmel. That's where the Hog's Breath Inn's Carmel.
Yep.
There is a Stinking Rose?
Not in Carmel.
Caramel?
In Carmel.
It's called, yes, Carmel. So that would lead me to believe, because there isn't a Stinking Rose, that Mr. Eastwood opened up the stink coming from the room. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. That's a great name for a restaurant, the stink coming from a small tiled room in the back. Okay, we'll be back.
And look at you scratching your ass while you talk that way.
I was not scratching. I was scratching my back. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com on this Monday night. Thank God we're coming to the end of this long, long, long cattle drive, partner. PhilHenryShow.com and tune in. Those three places are the places you go to get our show. You can listen to it on the radio, listen to it live at our website, listen to it on TuneIn, but listen to it you must. With me this evening, Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman, and General Galen Shaws. I've been sort of limping into this week. I apologize. After a great weekend in the Bay Area, and really there wasn't much other than the show that we did, you know.
Well, you're getting up early, you're going to bed late, you're getting up late, going to bed early, you know.
Yeah, and the nonstop drinking too.
What about that, Phil?
There's no nonstop drinking, man.
Well, if you're on the road, you're obviously going to be entertaining with cocktails, aren't you?
Get a load of you, man.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're going to be entertaining with a cocktail, you know.
General, you're getting very erudite. You're getting very suave the more you talk about liquor.
Yeah, smile when you say that.
See, he gets to talk dirty.
All right. No, I was not drinking nonstop. I had three stinking beers. No, wait a minute. Oh, I tell you what I had. I went over to John's Grill, which is a great place. Love it. And I said, what do you got for tequila? Oh, and by the way, William Wilder, young guy that I met at the show, William, you're a beautiful man, gave me a bottle of that 1942 Don Julio.
Oh, my God, you got another one.
I got another one. This is a 1942 Don Julio Añejo. It comes in that gorgeous box. It was a great gift. I can't thank you enough, William. But I don't think he's the same guy that gave me the tequila last Christmas. You remember it was a year ago that I held on to that bottle for a whole year.
Well, you held on to that bottle for a whole year like you're holding on to your you know what.
No, I don't know my you know what.
Oh, yeah, you're holding on to it like it's gold.
The tequila.
No.
No, the other thing.
What does that mean?
Thank you, Margaret.
If you're holding...
Never mind. So I got this new bottle from William Wilder, and it is...
That's the movie director. Sorry.
I got this new bottle from William Wilder, and so now I've got one that I can enjoy, but it's the 42. Yeah, the Don Julio. So thank you very much for that, William. But I could have used it the night before because I went in, and as much as I like John's Grill, because that place has got some fantastic food, man, I said, can I get a Don Julio? And they suddenly looked at me like I just landed from Mars. And I am pretty sure I had a Don Julio in that joint the last time I was there. They said, we don't have that, sir. I said, well, do you have? And I always go to either Patron or some Cabo Wabo, some of Sammy's, you know.
Oh, Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo is just wonderful.
You've never even had it, have you?
No.
Well, then why did you say it's wonderful?
I'm saying it's wonderful because, yes, never mind.
So the guy says, no, sir, we don't have it. I said, have you got any of the stuff that I mentioned? He said, no, we don't. He said, however, and he came back, and we have this, and we have Herradura, and we have the 1800, and just for, because my religion does not permit me to drink Jose Cuervo.
What do you mean about your religion?
I'm kidding. I'm just, you know, it's a personal, I don't want to drink this stuff, okay? I don't like having Cuervo pushed on me. I gave them a chance. I gave them a big chance. I kept drinking their swill, and it never got any better, and I'm not drinking it anymore. And the other one, the Herradura, and there was a third. I said, let me try that, because I've had the other two. And I got to say, with the greatest of respect to all concerned, oh, man, it was bad.
Oh, it was.
So you didn't enjoy it?
No, I didn't. It was like, it wasn't good, man. It was not a good tequila. And I'll tell you why. It was a silver, and a silver is a young tequila, obviously, and it's going to be acidic. It's going to be a little bit... more acidic. A young tequila is going to be smoother. The older the tequila, the more flavorful it gets, and it also has more impurities. But the younger the tequila, the smoother it is, but it has fewer of those, tannins and so forth. So I'm drinking this thing, and it was like, oh, God, turpentine, man.
Well, maybe it was that moonshine.
No, it wasn't that moonshine. No, I've had that moonshine. No, it was just not good.
And you don't remember the name of that. I would like to avoid it next time I go out drinking.
You don't drink tequila.
I know, but I don't drink tequila, but I want to avoid it.
You don't drink tequila.
I know, but I want to avoid it.
What does that mean, you want to avoid it?
I don't want to drink. I don't want to be in a restaurant with it.
So you'd go to another restaurant?
Yeah.
But you don't mean that, man.
Well, wait. So you go in and you say, do you have this kind of tequila? And they say, yes. You get up and leave.
Yes, exactly.
Even though you weren't intending on buying it?
Yeah.
And why would you do that?
I don't patronize places that have products that I don't want to have.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, man. It's one thing to patronize a place. It's one thing not to patronize a place. Never mind.
If you don't like the kind of product they carry because it's politically not right, like Coors Beer, for instance, a lot of the unions didn't carry it. They didn't want to... I don't know.
I don't either. All right, so... Well, Bud, if you're ever in a restaurant where they carry that stuff and you get up and leave, make sure that you don't tell anybody it's there. Otherwise, people will... I don't know.
Now, that doesn't make any sense, Bud. You could go in and sit down and eat food in a restaurant, even though they carry the tequila you don't like.
Yeah, why? Why give them business?
Because it ain't like they're doing anything bad. They just have a tequila that you don't like. It would be different if they had a tequila, if they didn't carry something that you wanted. Let's say you want, what do you drink?
I drink beer.
What kind?
Coors.
Oh, my God, you drink the very beer that the Teamsters.
I don't know.
Never mind, okay? So let's say you go in and you say, I'd like a Coors, please, and they don't have one.
Then I'll order like a Budweiser.
And what if they ain't got Budweiser?
Moosehead.
And what? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here, man?
You don't sound nothing, man. He doesn't drink at all.
Yeah, I drink it all.
You drink anything they have?
Yeah, except for that stuff you just mentioned.
Then you'll leave.
I'll leave.
Even though they have all the other stuff that you will drink.
Right.
Dickman, you break all records for weird. You know that? I love you, but you break all records for weird. Never mind.
You're talking about weird. Your voice is weird.
Go get him more of that cottage cheese or whatever that crap is that he eats.
Well, don't get angry, Phil. The kid, you hired him.
I don't understand why the kid, he drinks just about anything there is, but if they have...
He admires you, Mr. Henry. And Bud admires you. If there's something you don't like, then he don't want to have nothing to do with it.
Well, that is a good point, Phil. The young man admires you and wants to be like you.
Okay, but if you want to be like me, wherever he is, wave, then you don't necessarily have to leave the place just because they carry a tequila that you don't like. You can stay there and drink. It's better to leave a joint if they do not carry something that you like, and they're not carrying it, necessitates you leaving to go find it somewhere. I've done that.
But if they didn't have the tequila you wanted?
No, I've never done that, but I've been disappointed, and I always will say, would you please carry this later, or would you have you, you know, get your supplier to bring it in, or I don't know.
And what about Clint Eastwood's restaurant? Would you not go there because the name is odious, or would you eat there and under protest?
I would not eat there under... eat there. It would not be under protest. I would probably laugh if somebody came up to me and said, hey, Mr. Hendry, what do you think of the food here? I'd say it's great. And what do you think of the name here? And if they had a straight look on their face, I'd say it's a bad name.
And if they threw you out after...
I would say, are you throwing me out because I think the name of your restaurant sucks? And they'd say yes. And I'd say, well, okay, then I'm never coming back.
What a baby.
Right. I don't know, you know. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Nikki McKee, our associate producer and technical director, Nikki McKee. I produced the show. Bud Dickman is our assistant producer. Margaret Gray, a writer and contributor. General Galen Shaw, cottage cheese and vanilla wafers. And Robert is related to Mavis Leonard. Our one-man show will continue. We'll let you know on future dates. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just got a hold of me.